All right. Amen. Let's look in our Bibles tonight to the book of Matthew chapter 4, the Gospel of Matthew chapter number 4. I just want to look at a few things here that the Lord has been dealing my heart about. A few Wednesday nights ago, I preached. Of course, you know if you've been here on Sundays, we've been preaching evangelistic a lot on Sunday morning, and unless the Lord changes my heart on that, we're going to continue to do so. Just seeing somebody get saved, I think that'll do more for our church than anything. Amen. And no doubt it will encourage your faith, encourage your praying, to see that. So, but anyway, on that first Wednesday night that I preached here in the month of September, I preached about the Lord's prayer request. Pray ye the Lord of the harvest that he'll send forth laborers into the harvest. And we preached about that. And then our second time of standing in a Wednesday night service was last Wednesday night, and we preached about being laborers together with God. And that was our, not only our title, but that was our 3 points. We're laborers together, and then we're laborers together with God. And seemed like on Wednesday night, that's been our burden somewhat of dealing with the service end of soul winning, being laborers, praying the Lord of the harvest, send forth laborers into his harvest, praying for Angola and Anguilla and Antarctica, and praying for these countries that God would send forth laborers into the harvest. Well, tonight the Lord has spoke to my heart just to give us a little pep talk, I guess, about following the Lord. Following the Lord, and we're going to see when we read the scripture here in Matthew chapter 4, we'll see here the importance of that. And of course, we need a revival of importance of following the Lord. And you'll never outlive that. That's not beginner stuff. That's not preacher topics. That's every Christian, your whole life. When you start out, when you get saved, you're called to be a disciple and a follower of Jesus. But in Matthew chapter 4, I'll begin reading in verse number 18. These are familiar scripture. The Bible said, "And Jesus, walking by the Sea of Galilee, saw 2 brethren, Simon called Peter and Andrew his brother, casting a net into the sea, for they were fishers. And he saith unto them, Follow me, and I will make you fishers of men. And they straightway left their nets and followed him. And going on from thence, he saw other 2 brethren, James the son of Zebedee and John his brother, in a ship with Zebedee their father, mending their nets." It's amazing, isn't it? Peter and Andrew was casting their net, and James and John was mending their nets. Verse 21, "And he called them." Notice that. He called them in verse 22, "And they immediately left the ship and their father and followed him." Let's bow for prayer. Father, I pray you take the truth of the scripture and speak to each of our hearts about it, and deal with us all tonight in this Wednesday night prayer meeting service. In Jesus' name, amen. You may be seated. My topic tonight, or my subject tonight, is following and fishing. Following and fishing. Now, that is not an either-or subject. That is a two-sided coin. A one-sided coin is useless and worthless, and it cannot purchase anything. No more than just doing one without the other here in our text. Following and fishing. Jesus said in verse 19,
follow me and I will make you fishers of men. Now, I want to ask you something tonight. I want to ask you, in light of that, I will make you fishers of men. Another place, Jesus told them, from henceforth thou shalt catch men. Now I want to ask you something tonight in light of that. Do you think it is the will of God that we be fishers of men and catch some? You think that's the will of God? No doubt about it. So if we're not catching men, why do you think we are not catching some? I mean, we catch one or two every now and then, but not near, we'll be thankful for what God allows us to catch, but at the same time realize that we're not even putting a dent in the population of sinners. But my question is, why are we not catching men? Well, if we come through the back door of our subject, we'll find out. If we're not catching men, it's because we're not fishing. Right. Right. Amen. Of course, you could make several applications there as to why we're not catching men. Amen. We're not fishing. You'll not catch fish if you don't go fishing.
Right. Right.
Amen. Maybe you're fishing, or maybe you're focusing on where there are no fish. I mean, I've not met too many that could catch fish in the bathtub. I've often said Brother Scott and Brother J.R. could probably catch them out of the baptistry. But mostly, you've got to be fishing where they are. Why are we not catching men? One, it's because we're not fishing. Well, then why are we not fishing? We're just backtracking through their subject. Why are we not fishing? Right here it is. We're not following. If we follow, we'll be fishing. And if we fishing while we're following, we're going to catch men. There'll be folks saved along the way if you follow Christ. Amen? No doubt about that. So I believe it all boils down to this fact. Why are we not following? Fishing is automatic. Fishing is the consequence of following. Amen? If we're following, that's the cause. Catching men is the effect. And everybody that's saved ought to want to take somebody to heaven with you. You can't take money with you. You can't take houses and lands with you. You can't take a lot of things that are holding a priority in our lives. Can't take that with you. But if you lead somebody to Jesus, you can take them with you to heaven.
Amen.
Amen. That's right, isn't it? I think that's good. So why are we not following? That's a good question. What do you think we're not following? Following the Lord. If we follow the Lord, then God said, I will make you fishers of men. But why are we not following? Could it be that we are favoring earthly relationships too strongly? You think that might be it? Because when Jesus came there in verse 18, Peter and Andrew was there and they were casting their nets. Come on down to verse 21 and you find where James and John was with Zebedee, their father, in his ship, mending their nets. And the Bible says in verse 22, and immediately they left the ship and their father and followed him. Do you think possibly that some are not following the Lord because of favoring earthly relationships? And you know that's right. A lot of people are hindered in their spiritual walk and their spiritual work because of earthly relationships. And we could preach on that, but I think that's pretty well understandable. And Jesus had a crowd following him in the 14th chapter of Luke. A great multitude is what they were called. And they were following him. And the Bible said in the next verse, "And he turned and said unto them, If any man come to me and hate not his father and mother and brother and children and brethren and sisters, and yea, even his own life also, he cannot be my disciple." Did you notice what he dealt with right there? Earthly relationships. God is wanting us to love him superior and supremely. Amen? That's exactly right. So could it be earthly relationships? What about earthly riches? Them fishing, when Peter and Andrew and James and John, they were fishing. They were fishermen, professional fishermen, fishermen by trade. This weren't hobby fishing. This was their business. Maybe some wouldn't follow the Lord because of a paycheck or a financial step down or the financial uncertainty of not knowing if I follow the Lord, how am I going to make it? If I'm spiritual, if I do the will of God, how am I going to make it? So some maybe are not following the Lord because of earthly relationships. Some maybe are not following the Lord because of earthly riches. And we all know, friend, that the love of money is the root of all evil. It has caused many to err from the faith and pierce themselves through with many sorrows, earthly relationships and earthly riches. And boy, I want to say this to our young people, those that are here tonight, to guard yourself in regard to relationships that causes you to second guess your conviction. When God, listen, here's how you can identify those kinds of people. When God speaks to you in a service or God speaks to you at home about His will for your life and automatically you think about this one, then you know that one is a problem. Amen? It may not be that they're a problem themselves, but you've allowed them to get too big in your life. You've allowed them maybe to get too close. Amen. When God calls you, and He called Andrew, and He called James and John, amen, they had to say farewell to their daddy, their father, no doubt very close to him. How many people, when God deals with you about following Christ, you may deal with it and say, well, I don't know if I give that up or if I quit this or if I'm faithful or if, you know, I'll lose this friend or this will happen or that will happen. If following Christ, my friend, weeds some folk out of your life, then what does that tell you? Amen. And I've been in the ministry long enough and I've been here long enough till I know that I've seen romance hinder people's spirituality. I've seen young people get on fire for God seemingly until Mr. It or Miss It comes into the picture, and then all of a sudden their spiritual fire is gone. Their testimonies are gone. Their faithfulness starts to dwindle, and on and on you can go. You ought to so prize your spiritual life that when anybody comes into your life, a friend, a lover, whatever comes into your life and it causes you to backslide, then you ought to know God did not send that person into your life. Some maybe are not following the Lord because of earthly relationships. Some maybe are not following the Lord because of earthly riches. Some maybe are not following the Lord because of earthly responsibilities, obligations, things that are expected of them. And such is the case here. They were working. These men were working. They were holding down some responsibilities. But if we're not careful, will allow other things to be priority over the spiritual things. Amen? And I believe nothing should be more important in your life than you following the Lord. You following the Lord is another way of saying God's will. God's will ought to rank priority in your life. What He wants out of your life is His best for you. Amen. What you want out of your life, my friend, will never be the best for you. What you want out of your life may be the best for the world. It may be your best for your pocketbook. It may be your best for other areas, but God's best is God's will. You can't improve on being in the middle of God's will. It don't matter if it's in Haiti. It doesn't matter if it's in Rogersville. It doesn't matter where it is. If you're in the will of God, doing the work of God, you can't be in a better place. You can't be in a safer place than in that point. Amen. It doesn't matter where it is. Amen. Praise God. That's right. There's happiness in the will of God. There's joy in the will of God. There's peace in the will of God. Amen. I'll never forget. I'm not going to labor on this much, but I'll never forget as a young man when I got saved and worked at Byers Sheet Metal in Hendersonville, North Carolina, as a welder. And I'll never forget it when I walked in there and told Roger, who was the head man. He's the one that owned the place. And I'll never forget going into that big fancy office and telling him, I'm turning in my resignation. I'm going to be quitting here. Now, where are you going? What are you going to do? I said, well, I'm going to Bible college. Amen. Stepping away from 40 hours, stepping away from a good paycheck and benefits and all of that, amen, and going and sticking my head in some books. God had to be in that, amen. God help, amen. But I'm telling you, I'll never forget the look on his face. He even questioned me. He second-guessed what I was doing. Of course, he weren't a Christian. He didn't have a clue about anything spiritual, amen. But I was determined, Brother Ivan, when I got saved, that I was going to go with God. Amen. Amen. Going with God, no matter what, I was going to go with the Lord. Amen. Of course, that just a very short period of time into my walk with God, my girlfriend had done fizzled out, done kicked out on me. Amen. God done nudged my heart about going to Bible college and that my job and my career wasn't top priority in my life. Amen. Now listen to me. I didn't know this. I didn't know this till just the other week when I was preaching for my nephew, Brother Jonathan. And he was talking about Ricky. I probably ought not to mention his name, but my brother, at the very same time God dealt with me about going to Tabernacle, God dealt with him about going with me. In fact, when we went down to look over the school, we both went together. We both went together and looked over the campus and looked over the church and looked over everything and met, you know, talked to Dr. Seitler and just all of that. But it came to the point where I said, I'm going, and he did. Now, I don't know the will of God for everybody's life, but I know this, I didn't know this, but I do now. Brother Jonathan said that God had put my brother, his daddy, on a shelf. He said for 15 years, called to preach, and hardly ever done anything for the Lord. It's a serious matter when you make a choice to go contrary to the will of God. Amen. I believe God, listen, I believe you ought to do the best financially you can do for yourself without sacrificing your spiritual life. I think that's a good way to do it. Amen. I believe you ought to try to make all the money you can make without throwing your spiritual life out the window. Amen. If you have to throw church down the drain to hold a job or have a job or make money and make lots of money or have a lot of benefits or a lot of promotions and a lot of advancements in the financial world, but your spiritual life is non-existent and you have no power with God and you have no influence on sinners, I want to tell you that's never been the will of God. Amen. God, listen, God don't call everybody to preach. But God calls everybody to be a follower that's saved. Everybody that's saved, God calls you to be a follower of Him. And you'll never be happy till you're following Him. You'll never have the joy, full potential in your heart till you're following the Lord. Amen. Amen. But you're on a mission field. If you're working a secular job, you're to look at it as, God has got me here on a mission work. Amen. While you're going to school or if you go to college, God's got you there on a mission work. Amen. When the money takes over the missions, that's when you're in trouble. When God's purpose of your life falls second place or third or fourth in your life and other things steps into the rank of the priorities of your life, you're in trouble. You're in trouble. I don't know how I got on all that, but fishing, catching, being fishers of men is the consequence of following. If we follow the Lord, I believe God is saying, if you follow, that's your part. I will make you to be a fisher of men. That's my part, God said. And if we're not fishing, there's only one explanation. It's because we're not following. Amen. Amen. So listen, there's a lot of other things that we could say or point out, but let me just deal with a few simple truths. Let me just ask you this. Why are we not following the Lord? If we're following the Lord, He'll make us fishers of men. If we're fishers of men, we're going to catch some. And there's a lot of people, Brother Ivan, that sits on church pews that names the name of Christ, will live their whole life and die and never win one person to the Lord. You're to not want that. You're to make that a serious matter of prayer. Lord, help me to win somebody to Jesus. Teach me, help me, empower me, enable me to win somebody for the Lord and to the Lord. Oh, I want to tell you, that's probably the closest thing to you getting saved is when you're able to bow down with a repenting, believing sinner and they trust Christ as their personal Savior and go on and live for the Lord.
That's right. Amen.
Amen. I mean, the Lord's allowed us to win several. I wish I'd have kept up with all of them down through the years. But the joy that comes in your heart when you see fruit. My brother Travis, those two that got saved over there, a lot of people say, two? Jesus would have died if it had just been one.
Amen.
Two's better than one, and two's better than none. That's two precious souls, and Lord only knows the repercussions that's going to go even out from that. And I don't believe God would have allowed Brother Trav to go there for 6 months for those two to have just made a false profession. Amen. And Brother Robert Taylor, when he stands and testifies about getting saved right here, that's fruit and that encourages me, that helps me, that blesses me. Amen.
Boy, I'm telling you, I like it, don't you? But listen, why are we not following the Lord? What's hindering us from following the Lord? Do we not love Him? Is that, that's the bottom line. We probably don't love Him like we ought to. We love other things more. I would say that probably would have to be the underlying cause, probably. Because if you love Him, you will let Him lead you. But enveloped in this
this, I will follow me and I will make you fishers of men. If we're following, we're fishing. I see first, if you want to just write it down, first of all, there is a confirmation that I see here. And I preach this strong, I believe it, that following the Lord is a confirmation that you are saved. I believe anybody, anywhere, anytime that claims to be saved and they are not following the Lord. Now, I'm not talking about, you know, like we do sometimes, you know, we get in a slump one day or one morning or whatever, well, a little period of time. I'm talking about consistently do not follow the Lord. How could they possibly from the Bible claim to be born again? Amen. Because with the call of salvation comes the call to service. So there is the confirmation of salvation here. There is also the call to service here. There is the call to service. I will make you fishers of men. There's call to service that's enveloped in this. If we're fishing, if we're following, we're fishing. And let me just say, and I've already said it, but I want to emphasize it again quickly, that this call is a general call. And it's also a personal call. Now, what do you mean, general call? General call means everybody that's saved, no matter where they are, nationality, color, creed, language, dialect, no matter what. If you're saved by the grace of God, there is a call on your life to follow the Lord Jesus. Amen. But there's also a personal call. God calling you personally. You ought to feel personally obligated to be a follower of Jesus. Amen? That's right. More like this. And not only is there a call to service and a confirmation of salvation also, but then listen. Listen, for lack of a better word, there is the casting away of some snags. They had to cast away their nets. They had to, those things that would entangle them, those things that they had ties to, those things that would hold them back. The Bible said here that they left their nets in verse 21. They left their nets, verse number 20, and also verse 21. They left them. Amen. Verse 22, they left the ship. They didn't just leave the nets, they left the ship and their father. So there is the casting away of things in your life. And by the way, they weren't told to do that. Show me in this passage where they were told to throw down the nets and leave the nets and forsake the nets. They just knew, if I'm going to follow the Lord, I can't carry this baggage with me. I can't haul these nets with me. I can't take these nets with me. Listen, point made is this. When you follow the Lord and surrender to follow the Lord Jesus Christ, ladies and gentlemen, know this. There are things in your life that you need to lay aside that will be excess baggage, that will be a hindrance. They knew, if I'm going to follow the Lord, I need to cast these snags away. These things that would hinder me. These things that would hold me back. You need to cast those things away. So there's the confirmation of salvation. There's the call to service. There's the casting away of the snags. And of course, then there's the compassion upon sinners. You, if you're not interested in catching men, you're probably not interested in following the Lord. If you don't have a burden for sinners, and we all need a revival in that area. If we don't listen, if we're not caring about sinners, it's probably because we're not caring about the Savior like we ought to. Amen. Have a compassion on sinners. And then there is a commitment of surrender implied. Jesus called them to follow Him. He didn't make them. He didn't climb up in the boat with them, Brother Travis, and put them in a full Nelson
and a headlock, throw them on the floor, put his foot on their head, and say, "You're going to follow me or not?" No, he called. There is a commitment of surrender here. Amen. What is Christ looking for? He is not looking for people that has to be forced to serve and to live right and to read their Bible and pray and witness and live for God. He's looking for those, Brother Brad, that will willingly on their own, of their own volition, there to say, "Yes, Lord, I will be committed and I will be surrendered to following you." Amen. And then could I say also implied in this quickly is there is the a course of our steps that are implied here. Follow me, it means you're leaving your course and you're now following my steps. My steps. There is a new course, a new direction, and that direction is, it has two sides to it. When you're following the Lord, you're walking away from the old life and you're walking toward new responsibilities and new opportunities ahead of you. So if you follow the Lord, you're going to be leaving some things, but yet you're going to be walking toward better and bigger things. If Peter, I'll tell you, listen, if Peter and James and John and Andrew had have denied and said, "No, I'm not going," you and I would have never heard about them. They would have stayed, remained, lived, and died nothing more than just fishermen on their boat. But because they said yes to the call of God on their life to be a follower of the Lord and a fisherman of the Lord, as a result of that, here, several thousand later, years later, we know about Peter and Andrew and James and John. You can tell God no. You have that, you can do it. God's not going to force you to get saved, and He's not going to force you to serve Him. You can say no to God. But when you do that, you're boxing yourself in to where you'll live in your life and you'll die one day having not influenced too many people, especially for the Lord. Amen. I would have never... Listen, and this, I don't want to use myself because this is pretty pitiful illustration, but if I had not surrendered to the Lord in my Christian life to go and do the will of God, no matter where it was, I would have lived my life in Rogers, Rosman area, Transylvania County area, and y'all would have never heard of me, and I would have never heard of you. I'd have never met you. You'd have never met me. When you say no to God, you're shorting your influence. You're boxing yourself in. Amen. Now listen to this right here. When God is calling you to follow Him and to be a fisher of men, listen, you know what God has in mind when He's calling you? He has got men in mind when He's calling you. Listen, let that get a hold of you. When He calls you to follow Him, He has got men, women, boys, and girls somewhere scattered out through your future that God intends to work in and on and through your life to reach them for the glory of God. I don't believe that God saves anybody and He not have any intention of God using that individual to win somebody else to Jesus. I believe in light of this right here, God is intending that everybody that gets saved, that He has got somebody that He wants you to win to Jesus. Amen. And you talking about firing you up is when you see God using your efforts, your prayers, your talking, whatever, your life even, God using that and seeing somebody else get saved.
Amen.
Praise God. That's good. Amen. That got big to me though. God's got somebody else. God's got men in mind when he calls you. Yeah. Amen. Then, of course, it implies it also implies follow me brings into view something else. It brings into view a conduct of sanctification, or if you want to put another one with that, you can call it the conformity to the Savior. When Jesus said, follow me, the word follow has the implication of imitation. Imitate me, follow me, do as I do, walk it where I walk. Live like I live. Amen. That's probably the reason a lot of people are not followers of the Lord, is because they don't want to abandon their life. They don't want to quit living their life and their dreams and what they want to do. Instead of surrendering and saying, Lord, you lead, I'll follow. Whatever you want in my life, I will try to do that. Amen. I believe that. I believe that there are folks scattered across church pews all over this country and in other countries, that somewhere in their life, God was really working in them. God was working in them to do great things, Brother Jackie. And he started putting his finger on some un-Christ-like things in their life. And they may have gave up some of them. They may have dealt with some of them. But then the Lord may have put his finger on that. Something real tender. That right there's got to go. Oh, no, Lord, no, not that. God wants us to follow the Lord. He wants us to imitate him. He wants us to be Christ-like. He wants us to be Christ-like. Amen. Well, I know the world has made a slogan out of it, but it is a Bible principle on that WWJD, what would Jesus do? I've seen bumper stickers, you know, on cars that had that on it, and people flipping cigarettes out the window. I thought, I wanted to roll my window down and say, I don't believe Jesus would do that. You know, got WWJD shirts on, you know, the logo on their t-shirts and stuff, and going down around town half naked. I just want to say, I don't believe Jesus would do that. I don't believe Jesus would be given over to immodesty, showing the flesh. Amen. I don't believe he'd be interested in that. Amen. I don't believe Jesus could go to the city pool and go swimming with all the nudity around. Do you think he'd do that? It's getting quiet in here. Does anybody notice that? Amen. Christ likeness. There's a conduct, there's a course, there's a control. There's a control of the sovereign right here, it's implied, Brother Travis. When he said, follow me, that is a command. He's not given that as a suggestion, he's given that as a command. When he said, follow me, he was expecting results. He said, follow me, he was expecting obedience. Amen. And here's what's stated right here. And this is why a lot of people won't follow the Lord. This is why a lot of professing people that claim to be saved will not follow the Lord. It's because they will not allow Jesus to be the leader in their life. Follow me means I'm going to be in the front and you're going to be behind me. I'm going to be making choices. I'm going to be making the decisions of left turn, right turn, stop, go ahead, straight ahead. I'm going to be making the decision. You're following me, I'm the director. You're following me, I'm the boss. You're following me, I am your master. You're following me, I'm your Lord. And I want to tell you, listen, one of the greatest days in your life outside of being saved is when you surrender your life and submit your life to the Lord.
Right,
amen. Amen. That's right, isn't it? Yes, sir, you can believe that. So, we've been trying to talk a little bit tonight about fishing or following and fishing. I mean, really, how many, I wonder how many
RBTers, not just here tonight, but those that's not even here tonight, I wonder really how many RBTers from the pulpit through the pews that are real followers of Jesus, that's really committed to following in His footsteps, to doing what He really wants them to do. And I wonder about that myself. How many followers? Now listen, there's times that Jesus had multitudes following Him, and He'd preach one message and the whole crowd would leave Him. I think that's where we're at now. I think that's where we're at, Brother Ivan. I believe that we've got folks sitting on pews in all kinds of denominations, and they're wanting a Santa Claus Jesus. That's what they're wanting. You know what that is? Give me all kind of good things, but I don't owe you nothing. Amen. I expect all these big bags of gifts and all of that, but the other 364 days, you have no say-so. You ain't doing nothing in my life. I'm not serving you. I'm not bound to you. You're not my boss. That's what we look at God as. Amen. Isn't that the way we look at God? We want Him to dish out without our devotion. We're wanting Him to hand out and give us all kinds of things and be good to us and bless us with all kinds of blessings and us not serving. I think that's pretty pitiful, don't you? If I was Santa Claus, I'd quit a long time ago, wouldn't you? Hello. That's right. Of course, He can't quit because He's non-existent. But Jesus, if I was Jesus, if I could put it in language that you might can understand, if I was the Lord and I got treated the way He gets treated by us, I wouldn't give us nothing. But He's not a man. He don't deal with us the way we deal with Him. Oh, my soul. God is good to His people, and we bless His name. But He's deserving of our devotion. He's deserving of us serving Him and following Him. Amen? Well, there's a lot that we could say tonight, but God wants us to follow Him. Because if we follow Him, He's got men in mind. Men in mind. Let that be the point that weighs heavy on us in this September for souls. God is, let's go back in a minute. Why did He want us to pray that prayer request? Pray ye the Lord of the harvest, that He send forth laborers where? Into the harvest. Why? Why was He so given to wanting laborers in the harvest? Because He knew that if He could get workers in the field and laborers in the harvest, that there would be a harvest. So, when He asked us to pray that prayer request, He had men in mind. When we preached last Wednesday night on we are laborers together with God, that's what He's got in mind. Men. People. People. Well, God wants us to be effective. And we all can be far more effective than what we are. Amen. There's no doubt about that. But following Christ has got a lot of meaning to it. Amen. No doubt about that. But He said, I will make you, if you'll follow me. And that requires submission, surrender. And that's not a test either. When you follow the Lord, it's not, I'm going to go a ways and come back, but I'm going with God, sink or swim. That's what we need. We need a revival. We need a renewed commitment from people, from the pulpits throughout the pews in the churches, that will stand once again and say, God, afresh and anew, I commit to following You. I commit to serving You and honoring You. Now listen, just like Miss April was talking about Jacob. Listen, don't think for a second now that if you commit to following the Lord, and serving the Lord and living for the Lord and being a fisher of men, don't think for a second that the devil's not going to that the devil's not going to find your address. Amen. Brother Jeff and I were talking yesterday about men that has so mightily been used of God, but my, look what they went through.
Look at the struggles. Look at the trials that they went through. And Brother Jeff told me yesterday a story that I'd never, ever, ever heard about Dr. J. Harold Smith. Dr. J. Harold Smith, we all know, if you know him, and most in here have known him, won millions of people to the Lord. And he prayed, and he prayed earnestly, and he prayed at length, God, give me a message that I can win 1 million people to the Lord with. Shortly after praying that, and he prayed it earnestly, and he meant it. Shortly after that, his young boy was playing out in the garage, or out in the, he had an airplane where he traveled, small one, they traveled to meetings, and he had airplane fuel out in the hangar, or whatever you call it, and he was out there playing with that, and him and another boy was throwing airplane fuel on each other. They thought it was old and it was non-flammable, and they thought, there's nothing to it. You know, just like it gets old, it won't do nothing. And then they got to playing like they was going to throw a match on each other. And the other one did. He threw a match on Dr. Smith's boy. Now, I never heard this till yesterday. Threw a match on him. Of course, he went up in flames and burnt just to a charred crisp. They rushed him to the hospital. They called Brother J. Harold Smith. They called him, and he met them at the hospital. Took him a little bit to get there, and he finally got there, and he comes in, and there lays his boy on the gurney, and he's just barely alive, and he's just charred. And the little boy said, Daddy, is that you? And he called his name, said, Yes, son, it's me. He said, Am I dying, Daddy? And Brother J. Harold said, Yes, son, you're dying. And that little boy, I can't remember, Brother Jeff told me the song that he sung, but he commenced singing a song, spiritual song. And when he got done singing that song, he dies. And Brother J. Harold Smith falls on the floor, broken. And while he was in the floor, God said to him, Do you still want that message that I can save 1 million people with? Are you willing now? Are you willing? And from that instance, God birthed God's 3 deadlines into Brother J. Harold Smith's heart. And there's been, well, I don't know. They don't know. They know it's in printed form. There's been over 1 million people that's wrote in just from reading the print of it and said they've gotten saved. It's in video form. You can watch him actually preaching it on a DVD. And there's been untold thousands of people that got saved. I've heard him preach it in person twice or 3 times. And there's just large numbers of people get saved every time. But look what he went through. Dr. Seiler went through that great tragedy of his, was it his daughter or son that got killed with the drunk driver? And he responded to that spiritually. He responded to that and let God work in him. And Brother Jeff, and we talked about Spurgeon, and we talked about some others, how they went through things and how God used them mightily. And Brother Jeff said to me last night this might make the hair stand on your head. He was sitting on the front row. He was telling me this in the ER last night with tears running down his face. He said, Preacher, I was sitting on the front row of that service last night, and he said, I was looking at my wife right here, about that same distance. I was looking at my wife, thinking what we talked about, thinking about the price that are we willing to pay to have the power of God. And Brother Jeff, I'm telling you, he's got as much of a hunger to have the power of God on him as anybody I've ever seen. And while he was sitting there looking at her and thinking that is when all of that happened. Of course, you can imagine what went through his mind. And he told me last night, after they'd done loaded her up and headed her in the ambulance down to Winston, he told me, he said, "Preacher," he said, I don't know of anything between my heart and the Lord. He said, "I want to please the Lord." He said, "I want to honor the Lord." He said, "I don't know of anything, Brother Brad, that God would be judging me for." And I said, Brother, God's not judging. This is not a judgment. This may be a test. This may be a test. If you get serious about following the Lord, count on it, friend. There'll be some trials. There'll be some testing that'll come in our life. God help us, Brother Preston, to respond spiritually. When trials come, you can respond naturally and quit, get bitter, get mad, walk off, get out of church, all of that. You can do that. Or you can respond spiritually and say, "God, I don't know the whys and the what fors." Look at Job, another example. Joseph, another example. All through the scripture. "Yeah, Lord, I don't know why, but Lord, I'm going to follow you anyway." The three Hebrew children. That fiery furnace wasn't judgment. That wasn't a judgment. They stood when everybody else was bound to the golden image. That wasn't judgment. That was a test to show their genuineness and show that they were real. When test comes our way, the last thing on our mind ought to be, "I'm quitting." God help us to stay true to the Lord and follow Him. Amen. Let's bow for a word of prayer.